Amen. So this morning, I just wanted to speak on that. Amen. Sufficient grace. Amen. Because this is really about establishing a covenant with God and knowing that if God had not been on our side, amen, where would we be? So I thank God for his unfailing love, for his abundant mercy. Amen. And most of all, for his grace. Amen. It's sufficient for us. So this morning, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just want to speak on a few minutes as we celebrate together. Amen. I don't want anybody to think that we can do this or I can do this on my own. Amen. Well, if it's not for the people here and God fitly joining us together, then there would be no ministry. Amen. Well, I always like to say, God says in his word that without a vision, the people perish. But where there's no people, he needs no vision. So we are a part of God's work. We are a part of God's plan. We are fitly joined together for this work. Amen? Come on. And God called us to this. We did not call ourselves. Come on. Many of us would be in another line. We'd be doing something different. Our lives would be different. We'd be thinking different. But God called you to this. Amen? Come on. If not for a season, but for a reason. We don't know how long the season, but God has called us for a reason. And that is to lift his name. Amen? Amen. And to glorify him. So we are all a part of his plan, God's master plan. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to talk just a few minutes this morning about God's sufficient grace. Amen? Amen. When we run out, God picks us up.
Amen.
When we are limited, God is unlimited. It is up to us to appropriately understand God like that. So that we don't misappropriate our lives and think that it's about us. We don't ever want to think that. We want to allow God to help us in our thinking and in our understanding. That if it had not been for the Lord, where would we be? Well, Paul said it like this: I am who I am because of the grace of God. Boy, a lot of times we don't know where we be, what we do, how we do it, if it's not for the grace. Come on, you're not good just because you're good. You're good because of the grace of God. Come on, God has given us all this grace, this unmerited favor, this ability to receive from him without earning it or deserving it. It is this amazing grace. God pours it out without measure. Amen. And it is up to us to make sure we appropriately receive his grace. Come on, where would I be? Fred Hammer sings a song that where would he be without the grace of God? We'd be lost. We'd be challenged in our own imaginations and our own thinking. But because of God's grace, amen? Come on, we can stand here today and proclaim his goodness, amen? Because of the grace of God, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians, if you're there, come on, look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians, verse 6. Come on, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Come on, this is celebration day, amen. Don't be quiet on me today, amen. Shout me down, make me know, amen. Amen. Verse 6. Apostle Paul speaking to us, he says, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. Come on, he just making it plain. He understood who he was. And it didn't matter what he was doing. But I ain't gonna be no fool. Amen. For I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Amen. Come on, that's a humble statement. And he says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger, get this, a messenger of Satan himself to buffet me. Why? Unless I be exalted above measure. And see, sometimes the challenge is not that he was big-headed. It's that sometimes people around you, because they see the handiwork of God, they say, oh, it's from you, or you did it, and they try to put a name or identity to what's going on Paul said, no, this is not about me. And God wants to make sure I stay balanced with this. He sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And he goes on to say, concerning this thing, this thorn in the flesh, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He didn't like what was he going through and what the enemy had done to him, but God wouldn't take it off him. And he pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Come on, everybody else getting healed. Everybody else getting a breakthrough. Everybody else getting a miracle. Lord, all I need you to do is help me with this problem that I'm going through. Come on, sometimes we need help ourselves, amen? Come on, he pleaded 3 times with God that this problem, this issue, this thorn in his flesh would depart from him. And God said to him, my grace, come on, church, is sufficient. In case you couldn't spell it, it's sufficient for you. When we said, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So therefore, I take pleasure. Anybody happy about their problems? Amen. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, come on, you'll get it in a minute. For when I am weak, then I am. Come on, you'll get it in a second. Father, we lift you up, Lord. We honor you. We thank you for the milestones in our lives, the grace days, Lord God. We don't count them, Lord God, as a privilege. We don't count them, Lord God, as something that's owed to us. But we appreciate each and every day. So we mark this day, God, as this is the day that you have made. And you command us to rejoice and to be glad in it, Lord God. So we celebrate you today, Lord God. It's because of your loving kindness. It's because of your faithfulness, Lord God. It is because your mercy was rich toward us, Lord God, that our lives would never be the same again. God, you assemble us today, Lord God, under the mighty umbrella of your anointing. And God, everything is subject to your anointing in this place. We thank you that burdens are being lifted right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I thank you, oh God, that the troubles are passing away, oh God. That infirmities and sicknesses are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. God, I'm praying even now that relationships are being mended, God, and lives are being altered and changed for your glory, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that all this can happen and this all can take place because your anointing is here. And when your anointing is, your presence is to lift us up, God, to change our very lives, oh God. We are transformed, oh God, and by the renewing of our minds, oh God, and you touch our lives, oh God, so that we're never the same again. So we look unto you, Father God. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You started it in us, God, and you will complete it, even unto the day of Jesus Christ. So we stand firm in our confession today that Jesus is Lord. And we thank you, oh God, for the multitudes of your grace, oh God, that's been sufficient for our lives. So have your way, oh God. We are open vessels waiting to be filled. Come on, God. Purge us of all of our iniquities. Oh God, renew in us a right spirit. Do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. And for this we look to you right now. Oh God, the God of our salvation, the Lord of our lives, the King of Kings. Oh God, we look to you right now in the precious name of Jesus that you might have your way in the midst of your people. Oh God, don't let us be the same when we leave this place, oh God. But take us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. And we give you praise in advance for all that you're going to do. We put the enemy on notice right now. His works are bound in the name of Jesus. And whatever we bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. And for this we give praise. Have your way, Lord God. Illuminate our hearts. Let the word be rich to us today, Lord God, so that we can live by every word that comes from your mouth. And for this we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say amen again. Amen. Amen. Come on, sufficient grace is what God gives us in our lives. See, the challenge with us sometimes is that we presuppose on the grace of God. We act like tomorrow is promised to us, and I'm going to have this tomorrow, and get this today, and be this way, and be that way. And many times we presuppose on the grace of God, not knowing that we'll get it, but thinking that we're going to get it. And the reality is, everybody doesn't always receive the same measure of grace. For some, their grace may be just to make it another day. For another, some grace may be to live 100 years old. Come on, God's grace is sufficient in every life, but it's independent of how we live. Come on, God has a plan for each and every one of our lives, and it's only because of his grace. Come on, we cannot detail it, we cannot dictate it, we cannot make it subject to us, but we are always subject to him. Amen? Come on, it is his grace that becomes sufficient for our lives. It has nothing to do with what we do. Come on, we cannot manipulate God, and we can't adjust our thinking and our emotions to manipulate how God deals with us. Come on, we are subject to the grace and what God does in us so that we can live according to what he desires for our life. Come on, Paul caught himself in a quandary here in this situation because he had no idea why God would allow the enemy to do what he's doing in his life. And sometimes we're the same way. God, why is this going on with me? How is this happening in my life? Why are you letting it happen? And God has a method to the madness. Amen. Come on, sometimes we don't want some of the situations and things that we go through and situations we find ourselves in, but God has a method to what he's doing in our life. Come on, we might not like it. We might say, God, why me? We might say, God, take it away from me like Paul did, but God says, I got a method to this. Come on, and our challenge and our reality is to make sure that we understand that even when we are weak, God is strong. Come on, Paul said, I will boast in this infirmity. I don't like what's going on. I don't like what the enemy has done to my life. I want you to take it from me because I don't like it. But he realized, he said, even when I'm weak, God, you are. Come on, he came to grips with it. He came to grips with it. He said, just because I'm going through don't mean I'm stopping. I'm just going through. Come on, sometimes we deal with stuff and the enemy comes against us and we think it's all over. I'm stuck. I'm challenged. And the reality is God's just working something out in our lives. He's just showing you that his grace is. See, Paul couldn't figure this out. He's doing great things for God. God, you changed my life. You called me on the Damascus Road. You did this. You did this. And now you let this happen to me? Well, sometimes that challenges us to think that I'm doing all I can do for God. I'm tithing. I'm giving them my all in ministry. I'm doing what I can do for God. And still, yet, this happens in my life. Paul couldn't figure it out. He said, God, why are you letting this happen? And why is this going down? And I can tell you, in 7 years of ministry, I done spent my head more than once. More than twice. Maybe more than three times. And say, God, why is this happening in my life? Amen. Come on, I got a preacher 8 o'clock service. We're doing 2 services, and I'm getting a call. Come up here. The police need you at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, I got a preacher 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, we need you at 6 in the morning. Will you? Come on, it'll make your head. And I'm trying to figure out, God, why is this happening to me? I'm doing it the way you said do it. I even asked you today. But yet still this happening in my life. Come on, we got milestones and we got memory makers, amen? And some stuff don't leave you that quickly, amen? Come on, and we ask ourselves, why is this happening to me? Paul was pondering. He was in a pondering. Like, God, I'm doing this. You called me. Open my eyes. Led me in the path of righteousness. Gave me the words to say. Anointed me. And yet you still let this happen. Take it away from me, please. Well, he said, he begged and pleaded with the Lord three times. He said, maybe you didn't hear me the first time. I'm going to ask you again. Okay. And three times he went to God, saying, God, please take this from me. Well, that's what we get when we don't like things happening in our life. And we ask God, please take this away from me. Why? I don't like it. It's not pleasant to me. I don't like living with it. I don't like the challenges of this in my life. And God had to remind him, and I pray you remind you today, that his grace is sufficient. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, that word sufficient means this is a you gotta look any further. You don't have to look for any more. God's grace is enough. Come on, it is enough. See, when this simple fact is realized in our life, our exclusive focus becomes what Jesus has done for us instead of what we need to do for him. Come on, sometimes we are messed up and mixed up about Christianity. It's about what we think we can do for God and not what he's already done for us. Well, it's the difference in how people minister and how they approach church when they think of it in the sense that they have to do something for God and not the privilege that they get to do it for him. Amen? Come on, it's what he's already done for us.
Amen.
Not what we're going to do for him. Amen? Come on, sometimes we get that twisted and we think, well, what I'm going to do for God or how I'm going to live out for God. And the reality is God is just trying to figure out that are you respecting or honoring what he's already done for your life. Amen? Come on, we can realize instead of what we need to do for him and concentrate on what he's already done for us. Amen? Come on, we can minister out of a different relationship. Come on, sometimes people only minister out of what God has done for them. Come on, you bless me. I got food in the house. I got money in the bank, so I can praise and hallelujah to you. But what about when you're sick and you're going through and the money's funny and you ain't acting right? Can you still bless his name? Can you still give him glory? Can you still honor him? Come on, sometimes it's not about what he's doing, what you can do for him. It's about what he's already done for you. Amen? Come on, sometimes I tell, for all time, I say, sometimes the best time to receive is when I'm moving through. But really, that's not the perspective God wants. Whether I'm going through or not going through, he still already paid the price. He already did the work for me. Amen? So when I feel like it or I don't, amen, I still got to give him the sacrifice of praise. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, this spills over to all realms of life. This most definitely ties into the way we measure success and prosperity in our lives. See, with the propitiation of social media, it is easy to get caught up with the success of stardom of someone else.
Right.
See, all the while wallowing in the fact that you have not received as much attention as others.
Yeah.
See, if this behavior is left unchecked, church, it becomes idolatry. Come on, it becomes aggressively pursued throughout the course of your life. Come on, I believe that every single time we compare ourselves to someone else and become disappointed with who we are grieving the God who created us.
Wow.
And the God who sustains us. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, we are who we are because of the grace of God. You won't have to be nobody else.
Amen.
Just be the best you. Amen.
Yes.
Because God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Grace is at the foundation of Christianity. It is the foundation of what we believe and how we believe it. By grace, the lost are found. By grace, God's children stand in confidence. See, this morning, I want to remind you of the sufficiency of God's grace in every part. Come on, somebody say every part.
Every part.
In every part of our life.
Yes.
Come on, sometimes we are compartmentalized. Come on, there's a book out that's called Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. And what he talks about is women tie everything together. But men compartmentalize. They put things in boxes.
Yeah.
Like right now, you're a man, you're in your church box. But when you leave here, you might be in your sports box. And then later on tonight, you might be in your love box. Amen? Come on, we compartmentalize stuff. We got boxes. I'm in work right now. Don't call me here. I'm at work right now. I'm watching the game right now. Can you talk to me later? We compartmentalize things. And sometimes it's hard for women to understand about men. Because see, for them, it's all tied together. Forget that game. I want to talk to you about women today at work. Forget about work. I need to talk to you right now. That's not my wife's voice. That's my wife. Well, women tend to tie things together and connect things, even if it don't seem like it's connecting to you. Come on, I'm in this box today. I'm in my fellowship with the boys box right now. I'm in this box. And sometimes we don't put things together and tie things the way that women do. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, we have to learn that it's God's grace that is sufficient for us. Amen?
Amen?
And I want to remind you of that this morning. That in every part of our life, even if it's hard for you to tie it together, God's grace is sufficient for you. Come on, even if you don't think like they think and you don't act like they act, God's grace still is sufficient. Amen? It is a part of our life. See, the definition of God's grace, according to the dictionary, is an act of kindness or courtesy or clemency. See, the Illustrated Bible calls grace the unmerited favor of God. See, grace is the power of God made available to meet all our needs. Come on, George Myers said that. Come on, it is the power that God gives us to sustain us. Come on, some people have different ministries and they have different things that God has called you to. And when God calls you to a certain thing, he gives you what? The grace to fulfill it. It's not because you've earned it. It's not because you're better than the next person. It is because God has given you an unmerited favor that allows you to do it. Amen? Come on, everybody can't work with kids. Got one amen. Everybody else looking around. Hope it ain't work with mine. Hope it ain't work with mine. Come on, everybody can't work with adults. Come on, everybody can't work with money. Come on, we all have a certain measure or amount of grace to do what we do. Come on, everybody can't save. I knew I'd get you there. Amen. We make a joyful noise, but you don't have the grace to do that solo. You don't have the grace to do that solo. Pass the mic. Come on. We got to learn to be and live in the grace that God gives us. So that we're not trying to resemble or remotely try to identify with somebody else. Oh, you'll never be the best T.D. Jakes, even if you try. You'll never be another Joel Osteen, even if you try. They have a grace to do what God has called them to do. Come on, we got to learn how to live with the grace that God has given us. Come on, the power of God is made alive and available to you if you are struggling this morning with the issues of life. Come on, God's power is made available because his grace is sufficient. What that means? It is enough. Come on, you don't need another self-help book. You don't need another counseling session. You don't need another intervention. God's grace is enough. Come on, you don't need another program. You don't need another person to try to implement in your life. God's grace is. Come on, it's enough. It's sufficient. Oh, Paul didn't go. He didn't say he went to the doctor to get this. He didn't went to somebody else to get that and ask somebody else. No, he said he went to the Lord three times and God said, my grace is, it's enough. It's enough. Don't worry about what you're going through. Don't worry about what you're dealing with. My grace is enough to keep you. My grace is enough to sustain you. My grace is enough to get you over the hump. Amen. You ain't got to get anything else. You don't have to worry about anything else. My grace is sufficient. Come on, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says this, you can write it down. He also raised us up so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. What are you talking about? His grace. I know you don't deserve it, but God gave it to you anyway.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, how you get that guy? How you get this girl? It's under the grace of God. With me, amen. It was his grace. Come on, he said that he raises us up. So that in the coming ages, he's talking about our time, because we live in time. In the ages that he might display the immeasurable. You can't even measure the grace because it's so much for us. Come on, when I start thinking of the goodness of Jesus, when I start looking back over my life, and all I can see is his handiwork on my life. Amen? Come on, we can say it all the time. I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but God kept me. Amen? His grace is immeasurable. We can't put a tape stick on it. We can't measure it with a ruler. We can't find it. Because so many times it's so good to us. Each and every day, we start seeing his immeasurable grace. Come on, he says it's the riches of his grace and his kindness to us because of Christ Jesus. Amen? Come on, I got an illustration. A large sum of money was given to a man named Roland Hill to dispense to a poor pastor, thinking that the amount was too much to send all at once. Hill forwarded just a portion of the money, along with a note that said simply this, more to follow. And in a few days, the man received another envelope containing the same amount and with the same message, more to follow. At regular intervals, there came a third and a fourth. In fact, they continued along with these cheering words until the entire sum had been received. More to come. See, when God forgives our sins, there's more forgiveness to follow. Come on, he justifies us in the righteousness of Christ. Not that you deserve it, but you're justified because of grace. He justifies us in the righteousness of Christ. But there's more to come. Amen. Come on, somebody look at it and say, it's more coming. It's more coming. I love that. I love that. That means God don't just do it one time in your life. But again and again, he lets you know his grace is what? It's sufficient for you. Amen?
Amen.
And just right when you need it, here it comes. Amen? Amen. I thought about that pastor, and every time he got that envelope, oh my God. And then it said more to come. And every time he got an envelope, the surprise on his heart. Amen? Come on, that's how God works in our life when he gives us grace. And every time we get it, guess what we do? Hallelujah! And then guess we need to keep it in our heart. There's more to come. Amen? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, there's more to come. There's more to come. Come on, if we don't lose that zeal and understand that about God's grace and his goodness towards us, then guess what? Every time something happens in our life, we look at it, we shake our hands and clap the high five and say, guess what? There's more to come. Amen.
Amen.
Well, some people try to celebrate over little things, and I'm not going to display it or talk down on anything. Every good thing is good. But guess what? It's more to come. Amen? Come on, sometimes we can rest on our laurels and think we've got enough or done enough and then high five and try to build memorials and monuments and say, well, we did this and we got this. We got the house. We got the car. But where are you? We got this. We got that. And we try to build on the milestones, but really it's the grace. And guess what? There's more to come. Amen? There's more to come. Come on, we can't just get stale and stagnant and say, you know what? We done got enough. We done had enough. We got a van. We got some house. We got some things in the house. Amen? We got new chairs. We got some new speakers. We got some. We got new stuff. But that ain't enough because there's more to come. Come on, we got to see that in our lives. Because God's grace is what? It's sufficient for us. Come on, he's just getting started, amen? We're just getting started. Come on, God says he's taking us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. And that your later days are going to be better than your former days. Why? He wants that in our hearts so that we don't faint in serving him. So that we don't get bogged down on how we live for God. Because what? His grace is sufficient. So what you going through? So what you dealing with something? So what? It's a mess. It seems like God's grace still is sufficient for you. It's enough. It's enough. See, all we have to keep in our heart is more to follow. Amen. Come on, he prepares us for heaven, not here. See, some people think they get prepared here. You ain't staying here. God is preparing us for heaven. But there's more to follow. Amen? Come on, he gives us grace, but there's more to follow. He helps us to the age old, but there's still more to follow. Even when we arrive in the world to come, there will still be more to follow. Because God's grace, what? It's sufficient. Come on, write this down. 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. You have to turn there. I wrote them down for you. Amen. Now the God of all grace.
Yeah.
How much grace?
All grace.
Now the God of all grace. Listen to this. Who called you. You didn't call yourself. I know they invited you to church, but you hear that. God called you. Come on, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus will personally, hear this, restore, establish, listen, strengthen, and support you after, I don't have to get to this point, after you have suffer a little. That's what Paul was dealing with. He wanted to be strengthened, restored, supported. He wanted to be free of this flesh. But after, Jesus said, after you have suffered a little. Come on. If you're taking notes, four things, I want you to notice the four things that God of all grace will personally do for you. Come on, this is not something somebody can do for you. Only the God of all grace can do this for you. Number one, God will restore. See, sometimes we think we've lost it all. We've lost this relationship. We've lost this friendship. We've lost this job. We've lost this connection. And God said, I will restore. I will restore. Well, God is the God of reconciliation. Well, when things seem to be broke or fragmented or distant from each other, God says, nah, get it together because I will restore. Come on, when David and his men lost all their women and children, and the enemy had to seize the camp, and David said, give me the ephod, and he prayed to God, and God said, go pursue them, and you will overtake them, and you will recover God will restore you. Come on, even in the midst of a bad situation, even when it seems like you done lost it all, and the rent is due, and the month is over, and your money's out, God says, I can restore it all. Well, that's what the God of all grace does. He does what? He restores us. He restores us. See, if your life is falling apart, God can restore it. If your marriage is falling apart, God can restore it. Amen? Come on, if your health and your body is falling apart, God can restore that too. Got a couple people saying amen, the other people start stretching and saying, oh, it's healing. Oh, God wants to bring restoration in our lives. Come on, Caleb and Joshua took the mountain at 80 years old. And they screamed out, Lord, give us this mountain. Amen? It was 80 years old. But what does God do? He says, I restore your youth as you need. Amen. We are the temple of God. And when God want to bring restoration, he can restore our spirit, soul, and your body. Amen? He can do that. But we got to look to God and look him as the God of restoration. See, sometimes we think things are falling apart. And in reality, they're just falling into place. Well, I don't like this. It seems out of place. It's just falling into place. That's all it's doing. We think it's falling apart. And God said, no, it's just falling into place. I need you here. I need you to think this way. Well, that's how he dealt with Paul. He says, because of your many revelations. I'm just trying to help you so you won't get the big head. God does that. And we try to figure out why this happened. Why they acting like this? Why I won't do this? Because if everything was perfect, you had the big head. We couldn't even get you through them doors. Everything's perfect. I got a perfect house. I got a perfect mind. I got a perfect heart. Everything's good. Me, amen. Oh, somebody would say, well, that's cruel. God knows what it takes. Amen. Well, he told Paul, he said, I don't want you to get exalted above measure. I mean, I don't want people thinking more of you than they should. Amen. Let's bring them down a little bit. Come on, that's why we got to try to stay humble. Amen. Stay humble. Amen. If you did this, I ain't did nothing. Amen. I ain't did nothing. This is what God. Amen. Come on, so what? We don't get exalted. Above measure. Come on, honor is one thing. Respect is another thing. But worship is all for God. It's all for God. And he said, I got to give you this problem, this issue in your life so you don't get the big head. So you don't think more of yourself than you are. Come on, sometimes we try to celebrate our accomplishments and what we've done. And that's all good. That's all cool. But let's not get it too far. Amen. Well, some sermons I preach, I'm like, I don't want to preach another one. It's the best sermon ever. If they miss this week, I'm going to tell them that. But God said, you just got to keep turning the pages. Because tomorrow's coming. So we don't get what? Too high. And then guess what? Don't get too low. When somebody send you a letter saying, well, you mispronounced the word. It says, oh, you did this and you just shouldn't have did that. I guess y'all laughing. Y'all say, well, people really do that? Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. But we do what? We love them anyway. We love them anyway. Because I know what? It's not them. It's the spirit behind them. It's the spirit behind them. And sometimes they don't even know. So guess what I do? Go to prayer. I go to prayer. Because I know you love me. I know you care about this church, but I know you just let the devil use you too. I know it. But guess what? We're going to love you anyway. We're going to love you anyway. Because God's grace is what? He's a Christian. And if it covered me, he got to cover you. Amen? It's got to cover you. Well, we realize that as we go on. Well, Paul tries to help us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, one sows, another one waters. But it's God who gives the increase. Cool. And in case we didn't get the point, he says, let me help you out a little bit more. He said, so the one that sows is nothing, and the one who waters is nothing either.
Yeah.
Just in case you think you're something in this. I said, man, humble me. Amen. Amen. He said, it don't even matter. He said, because I'm the one in charge of the results. Amen?
Amen.
Cool. So we have to have an approach and understand that as God restores, he changes our lives. Amen? Come on, we can't take the credit ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
It is God who establishes us. Come on, that's my second point. Not only will God restore, he will establish. He will establish. See, sometimes we don't think we're on the right footing or in the right path, young people. Because there's so many distractions in the world today. There's so many different philosophies of thought. There's so many different influential spirits around you. Well, it's amazing how our young people are drawn to these influential spirits. And they don't have no fruit. But yet, they're so influential in their lives. Come on, some of these rappers, this rapper who just died, I never heard of him. But he has some kind of influence. He has some kind of influence because people are writing about him and Facebooking about him and the pro players are talking about him. So guess what he had? He had influence. Yeah, and sometimes we don't understand that because there's two different worlds. We live in one world.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what, a lot of the young people, they don't live in the same world we live in.
True. True.
They don't. You think you're telling them the truth and you think you're giving them knowledge and they looking at you like you're fool. Because that's not the kind of influence that's appealing. Come on, that's why the church is in the press like it is. Because young people, the millennials, have a different influence over their lives. It is not the same influence that many of us have been. Especially if you're a baby boomer, you've never been under that influence. You're learning this kind of influence in those kind of ways. And sometimes they push you and they make you look a little funny, but that's the world they live in. That's the world they live in. Come on, the clothes they wear, the way they talk, bruh. Come on, bruh, wear that. What you talking about? It's an influence. And it is a challenge because it tries to get to the roots of their being and who they are and what they will become. Amen?
Right.
Come on, you don't have to be a rapper. You ain't got to be a gangster.
Right.
You ain't got to be involved in that world if you don't need to be. Unless God has called you to that. I lost everything, man. I'm back. Amen. Amen. Unless God has called you to that. So we have to understand that we can help better to pray and live with that influence. Come on, people are cutting their kids off and they're disconnected with their kids and things are going this way and that way because they don't understand that world. Come on, we ain't grow up in that world. Come on, you need to be in before the streetlights get in. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on, you need to have internet and
right.
Facebook. And phones texting, and we have that. So guess what? The influence on our lives are different. But guess what? Our kids got that. They talking to their friends. Some of them talking to their friends now. They text it right now. Where you at, church? Where you at? I'm in the bed. I'm in the bed. I get at you later. All right, I get you. I ain't want to come, they made me come. It's a battle. It is a battle, it's a challenge. And God tells us not to be ignorant of our warfare that we pray with.
That's right.
Well, we want the best.
That's right.
We want them to be above and not beneath.
Yes.
And so many times the world or the influence of the world is saying, no, be like this. No, wear this. No, get that. No, do this. Because then you'll be accepted and not rejected. And a lot of that's all it's about. It's all about being what? Accepted.
Amen.
And not rejected. But what kind of shoes you got on? Well, I got on the latest Air Nikes. They Jordans. What you got on? I don't know. My mom got them from Safeway. How you like them? How you like them? Oh, you got a problem now. One of the worst fights I ever got in my My mother bought me some shoes, some outfit. You really come on, you can't remember, I know. Come on. I think it was called Plus. And I was like, skateboard shoes. And they started talking about my shoes. I said, you ain't wore white right now. Come on, things come tricky, and people look for acceptance and not rejection. Amen. They want to look a certain way. They want to be a certain way. And so much of the pressure and the situation that people go through is about this influence.
Yeah.
Come on, gotta have the latest and greatest. Gotta have on $600 worth of clothes that look right.
Yeah.
With my pants sagging and dragging too. Do I look right? Amen? Come on, it is a mindset. It is a generational mindset of the millennials. And the more we fight against it, and the more we try to warfare against it, the more entrenched many of them become. Because they try to justify, you don't understand my world. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Many of us don't. I can't understand that foolishness. That's crazy to me. That don't make no sense to me. But that's where I'm at. I don't understand that at all. Come on, it is a part of why certain different cults are taking over. Because they appeal to that. Come on, that's how when they kids go to get incarcerated and they go to jail, they become Muslims. Not because they know nothing about being a Muslim. It's because now that has been their influence. That I need to take on this influence about my life because I didn't have anything else to stand on. Come on, it is an overborn battle for us to live for God and to raise our seed, to raise our children. Because many times our children are dealing with an influence that we never dealt with. And the more we try to understand it, the further we get away from it. You can try to identify with them, and you can try to be their friend. You ain't never going to be their friend.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to always keep you alienated because you got a different generation.
Yeah.
Well, we got different generations. Come on, when we love go-go and all that, they don't even have the go-go right now, most of them.
No.
Because what? It's changing. Their generation changes. Their influences are changing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to understand that as ministers, as parents, as family members, as pastors. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of things in our church need to change. Not so that we lose the message.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The message is the only thing sacred in church.
Amen.
That's the only thing sacred. Jesus died for our sins.
Amen.
Rose the third day with all power. That's the only thing sacred in this church. Everything else is methods. How we do worship. How we dress. Everything else is methods. It has nothing to do with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with how we do church.
Right.
It's just methods. And sometimes the methods have to change. The message never changes. Jesus still the same. That's what he built on. But sometimes the methods have to change. If they don't change, then guess what? We don't change. We don't change. We stay the same. Same people you seen 60 years ago. They're still the same ones. Still sitting here. No new people. No new trends. Because there's no new change in us. Oh man, that's the hardest thing about church and doing ministry. It's change. Knowing things need to be changed. Knowing the situation needs to change. How we do stuff needs to change. It just needs to change. The same message. I'm still going to be preaching Jesus.
Amen.
He the one that saves.
Amen.
He the one who's healed and set free. He the
Amen.
One who delivers.
Amen.
It's always going to be about Jesus.
Amen.
But guess what? The method's got to change. Come on, I got Jamar back here. We trying to get set up doing social media and things like that so we can reach people.
Amen.
So if somebody can wake up in the morning, they ain't made it to church, but they just got the message.
Amen.
And then next week they made it to church because something touched their heart.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Well, things just got to change.
Amen.
We got to change. And as we change, then guess what? God changes the current.
Amen.
And then guess what? The influence becomes different.
Yes.
Well, what influenced you? Don't influence young people then. Well, you might be all rich and glamour. Oh, you got a Benz. So what? I don't care about your Benz.
Amen.
And Benz out. Care. That's not what influences kids anymore.
No.
That might influence our generation.
Yeah.
But not the millennials.
No.
They ain't worried about what you drive. You are. They worry about how you live. They worry about what you're doing. Where you at? Come on, that's what brings the change. Come on, that was a soapbox, y'all. Let me get back to the message. We be here at 2 o'clock. Come on, let's go. Amen, amen. All right, I don't even know where I'm at. Amen. Three. All right, no, B. Two. God will establish. Why? When I think of God establishing me, I immediately think of the house on the rock. Come on, Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 26. No matter what comes against you, you can be established because of God's grace and his power.
Amen.
No matter what comes against you, no matter who don't like you, no matter who don't friend you, no matter who don't talk to you no more, come on, God will establish you. Come on, I get worried and challenged sometimes. I ain't gonna say worried, but challenged sometimes, thinking about what's gonna come of my next generation. What's gonna come? Gotta work. Need education. People mm-hmm. just get by. Just because they raise the minimum wage, I'm making $11 an hour. That ain't enough. We're still living in the basement. That ain't enough. Amen. We gotta have education.
Amen.
You gotta have some admiration of what to do. Amen. Some zeal. It ain't gonna just fall in your lap.
No.
You gotta go get it. Amen.
Amen.
You gotta go get it. And stop just waiting on somebody to give you something.
That's right.
Well, I think that's where we messed up a lot.
Too much.
Yeah. Especially suburban kids.
Yeah.
Come on. I didn't grow up rough. But my parents ain't always give me everything.
Right.
When we went to McDonald's, it was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, going to McDonald's.
Yeah.
How kids today? It's McDonald's. Or whatever y'all like, you know, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A. It's like it's a given.
Yeah.
We got Wednesday night. It's Chick-fil-A night. Amen. It's a given. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is different. Because our generation today, everything is what? Give it to them. Well, if you look at some of the kids, and a lot of these kids, there's some great success stories. But most of the success stories are coming from hardship.
That's right.
The
truth.
Parents with me. Daddy with me. This ain't happening in my life. And it made them what? Work hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody went around what?
That's it.
Well, I told you, we do it all the time with our kids. We just did it last night, didn't we? Come to church, here's $1. Go to movies, here's $30. You need popcorn, here's $40.
That's what we do.
See, you've been to movies in a while. It's a different generation. Different generation. Oh, yeah, it costs money. But that's our mindset. Come on. They want a Chuck E. Cheese. Here, what you need? $50. What you need? $100? You need $100? When you go to church, what you get? I got some change. Get the change off my dresser. Guess what we've just done? We've taught them the priorities.
Ah, yeah.
We've taught them what's important. Church is important here. We have maybe $5 at least, right? I'm trying to give it. Amen. So we don't what? Minimize how important it is.
Right.
It's a different influence. And we can get away from minimizing how important it is and serve the Lord, then guess what? They don't have priorities.
That's right.
They'll see priorities in it.
Yeah.
But when we minimize it, then guess what? It's nothing. It's nothing. That's what you how you want to do it. That's nothing. Come on. It's the different influences that we have. And the priorities that we communicate without even saying or even thinking that that's what we're communicating. That's what's happening. Amen?
Amen.
That's why God wants to what? Establish us. That's what his grace does. It establishes us. So then guess what? Every time I need to send a message or have some kind of influence, I have it to do. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, it's a different kind of influence to say, oh yeah, we're the church and everything, and we can't give nobody $1.
Right.
Then we ain't the church. Mm-hmm. We gotta be able to meet needs.
Amen.
Well, Jesus said, well, let's pray for them and keep and be warm. Not until you meet their needs.
Amen.
Keep David is saying that.
Amen.
Well, that's the practical part of influence. We can't influence you if every time we talk around talking about, I need a dollar. You got a dollar? That ain't influencing you. That's making you think God is broke. And you are too. God is broke and you are too. I'm sorry. Look at you.
I gotta stop saying prefab. See? Did I get stay on my notes? See? Did I stay on my notes?
God will establish you. Come on, last two. God will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. Well, sometimes we get faint of heart. Sometimes we get discouraged. I want to look at Hebrews. I'm sorry, I need to go here. Hebrews 12. I know we're getting late, but give me a few more minutes. Hebrews 12. Yeah. Y'all there? Hebrews 12, 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is what it said. Who for the joy that was set before him, look what he did. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Why? Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Look what he goes on to tell. He said, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as son? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he what? Oh, you think you ain't supposed to get no beatings? Because he loves you. He loves you. That's why we go through things. That's how we deal with stuff. Because who the Lord loves. All right. He tell you. Amen. All because he loves you. Amen. He did not want to leave you the way he found you. Come on, that's a new way of thing too. I was listening to Isaiah Thomas said on the commentating of the basketball. He said back in the day when he was raised, what his mother did to him, they locked her up.
That's true.
He said, I know for sure they would lock my mother up. He was dealing with the controversy of this coach yelling at a player. And in this day and time, that's unacceptable. It's socially incorrect to yell at another child or somebody else, these young men. Because what? The dynamics have changed. Isaiah Thomas said this. He said, my mother would have got locked up. They would have locked her up for sure when she did. Because what? The dynamics change. Come on, kids now tell you, you hit me, I'm going to call it. I'm going to hear the baby boomers. Let me get back here. Let me get back here. Baby boomers back here talking about, damn, I got it. Let me come back here. Y'all can talk more sisterly than me. Amen. Give me some mercy. Give me some grace. I ain't never got whooped till the belt broke off for you. Amen. Amen. And you sitting around waiting on it. Go get me another one. We can laugh about it now. We ain't like it then. Amen. We've gotten into the timeout generation. We've gotten into the timeout generation. I read that in the book the other day. That a lot of the turmoil and dysfunction within the teenagers is because of this. So, the same thing. The timeout generation. And you know what? That might work for some kids. Some kids might even might work if you raise your voice at them.
It sure does.
It might somebody straighten up.
Yeah.
Or did this?
Let me get back in my notes when y'all start talking. I don't want nobody to cuss me out up here.
Come on. It, the book said the generational dysfunction in millennials and their children are coming because of this, the timeout generation. It's because they've taken time out from God, number one.
Yeah.
And they've taken time out from the foundations of how we raise our children.
Yeah.
Well, if the Bible says don't spare the rod, why are you sparing? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a difference between child abuse and chastening. It's a difference. And I think the problem is people have pushed the line and crossed the line. And now it's just people got too close, then let's not do it at all. Because you're getting too close to the line. And guess what we've done? We've refined the generation. And they've become a timeout generation. And guess what? Timeout don't work for everybody. It don't work for everybody. Well, the same people we visited in jail and we talking to, it's because timeout did not work. And now they got time in because you gave them time out. For whom the Lord loves, he changes. He said, don't forget this. He said, don't forget this. You don't resist to bloodshed or striving against sin. Ain't nobody calling me talking about stop serving Jesus. Stop living for the Lord. I hope not. If they are, you call them to me. We'll rebuke them right now. Come on, we got to a different place in life. But we have to understand God will strengthen us. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, lastly, God will support. He will support.
Amen.
Not only will he restore you and establish you, he'll strengthen you and support you. That was Paul's biggest challenge. How can I keep doing ministry with this problem? Well, some of that's a problem for many of us. How do you keep doing ministry with this problem you got? How do you keep doing it? More than anything, that's why Paul said, okay, I'm called to this. I'm chained to this gospel. But I wonder if I can do it better without this problem. And sometimes that's not our prayer or our focus. But that was his. How can I do what I do without this problem? And sometimes life not that way. And if I try to tell you that life is without problems, then I'm lying to you.
That's right.
I'm trying to deceive you with this pie in the sky. And then you wake up. Life does have challenges. Life does have problems. But God's grace is sufficient. He will support you. He will support you. Well, I can tell you, 7 years, no matter how many mistakes I've made, and I've made some. No matter how many times that I had to resign, and they didn't let me resign. They couldn't kick me in the curb. They couldn't say, you can't have that in this church. But they kept me.
Because we love you.
Don't try to ask me later what I did.
What you do, Pastor? Tell them what you did.
I didn't sleep with nobody's wife. I will tell you that.
I didn't do none of that.
But it was grounds. They could have said, you know what? That's a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was because what? God supported.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Why? Yeah. Because in your weakness, I made sure.
Yeah.
I made sure. That means what? I didn't get everything right. But God said what? You support me.
Amen.
So that the next opportunity, you're going to get it right.
Amen.
You ain't going to lose your cool. You ain't going to lose the victory. You're going to hang in there. Why? Because God supports you. Come on, God, you did that for me. How much more can I do for you? How much more? Why? And what he did is keep reminding me. And sometimes we take it for granted. I don't preach only much. But what I realize, his grace was sufficient.
Amen.
It was enough.
Amen.
It was enough. So I want to remind us today as I close
We're not going to take this any deeper. What's important for us? It's important for us to understand it. That's what God told us in Peter. He said, after we suffer the little. See, notice this as I close. Suffer little can be translated to say, for a little while. Can also be translated to say, to a small extent. And that's what we do, to a small extent. See, this is important because of our focus. See, and this is our challenge. This is what Paul was dealing with God's grace to be as a fisher. He never lost his focus. He still had the problem. He still had the prayer life. But he didn't lose his focus. See, and sometimes the enemy sends stuff into our life and we lose what? We lose our focus. Don't pray right. Don't act right. Don't live right. Because what? I lost my focus. Well, the enemy in this situation wasn't meant for you to lose your focus. It was meant for you to understand God's graces. You're just going through for a little while. To a small extent. But God won't deliver you after a while. Amen? Come on, somebody look at their neighbor and say, after a while. See, if you don't feel like God is answering your prayers, be patient. Come on, one day all your suffering, all your situations, they're going to come to an end.
Amen.
Don't be gone. They're going to be a testimony.
Amen.
They're going to be a look, a glimpse at God's grace in your life. Amen. We just got to hold on.
Amen.
Stay in the fight.
Amen.
Because his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
So as we celebrate this milestone of 7 years, we just get started, church.
Amen.
Come on, look at the Lord. You don't know how it's going to end. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. So as we close today, every head bow, every eye closed, my prayer for you is to see God's grace. So you should not be weary in your souls. Galatians 6 says, be not weary in well doing. For in due season, somebody say due season, you will reap. Now hold on to that verse. Because sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get discombobulated. Let me say that. Not being able to figure stuff out, see my way straight and stuff. God reminds us of his amazing grace. How he keeps our life. How he restores us. How he supports us. How he establishes us. Come on, God does all of that. You think you're doing it, but God's doing that for you. Oh, I tell my kids all the time, I don't come to church every Sunday because I'm perfect.
Amen.
I come to church every Sunday because I need him.
Amen.
You don't even want to know me without him. You call me daddy, you might call me something else. Without God on my side. Oh, I need him. I need him. This is not option. It's not negotiable. I need him in my life.
Amen.
I don't want to miss a Sunday. I don't want to miss a Wednesday.
Amen.
If you meet me here on Tuesday, I'll meet you here then too. Amen.
Amen.
I need him like that. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but it reminds me each and every time that I live with God and experience God. That his grace is sufficient. Because that means it's enough. It's enough. Whatever you think, it's not enough. Whatever you think, you can't tough it out. Whatever you think, the door's closed. God's grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. It's enough. More people have been in worse states. Black people have gone through worse. But because of the grace of God, they are who they are. So you're here today. Maybe scripture said that where sin abounds, grace does that much more. Some scriptures say doubly abound. What's that mean? You can't out-sin God. He loves you like that.
that even when you're messed up, jacked up, or messed up over the place, His grace is still enough for you too.
Oh yes it is. Oh yes it is. He says with sin abounds, grace does that much more. Well, that's how He challenges us. And sometimes we're so short views. We don't give grace to people. But God gives it to us.
Use you.
Yeah, I understand. It's all part of His plan.